Welcome to the Thrive Forever Fit Show, the podcast that's here to ignite your potential and guide you on a journey towards living your best life. I'm your host, Jay Nixon, and I'm thrilled to have you with us today. On this show, we're passionate about one thing, and that's helping you reach your full potential, whether that's in your health and fitness, relationships, career, or personal growth. We're here to provide you with tools, strategies, and inspiration to thrive in every aspect of your life. Each episode, we'll dive deep into topics that matter most, featuring insightful interviews with experts, thought leaders, and individuals who've achieved extraordinary success. Together, we're going to explore powerful mindset shifts, nutrition and fitness strategies, effective goal setting, mindfulness techniques, and much, much more. We'll break down the barriers that hold you back and help you build resilience, focus, and unwavering determination. So if you're ready to unleash your potential and embark on a transformative journey, this podcast is for you. It's time to embrace your inner fire, tap into your limitless capabilities, and make every day an opportunity for growth and self-improvement. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and empowered to live the life you've always dreamed of. The Thrive Forever Fit Show is here to support you every step of the way. Let's dive in. Before we dive into the show, I want to take a quick moment to talk about the sponsor of this episode. It is very dear and near and close to my heart because it is Lori's company, SpaStar. If you ever had the opportunity to watch someone create something from a thought or a vision and make this magical thing actually come to life, well, then you'll know why I'm so extremely proud of her and why I'm so excited to have her sponsoring the Thrive Forever Fit Show. If you've listened to my podcast, then you probably heard her on episode 259. If you haven't heard that, I would go listen to episode 259 as soon as you finish this episode. She talks about the story of how she created it, the adversity she overcame, the challenges that she worked through, and just the inspirational story that I know you're absolutely going to love. But what SpaStar is, it's a luxury wrap. And it was created as a spa wrap for people who were getting beauty treatments. But what we found out is it is a piece for everyday life. People are wearing it as swimsuit cover-ups, resort wear, just to get ready in the mornings or for that special event. It is the most unique piece. And I've actually worn this thing several times. That was the actual first model for this. Maybe I'll show you guys some photos of that when the time is right. But it is such a cool creation called the Get Ready Wrap by SpaStar. And because you're a listener, you get 15% off today because you support me. So just go to spastar.net, spastar.net, the word spa, the word star.net. And at the checkout, enter Thrive15, T-H-R-I-V-E 15, and you're going to get 15% off of your Get Ready Wrap. So many of my clients already have these and absolutely love them. We're selling them all over the country and all over the world, for that matter, to high-end luxury spas, and to people just like you that are using them inside of their own homes. They're traveling with them. They're using them at the pool. It's so really just unbelievably cool to see and witness. And I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And I'm so blessed to have Lori actually sponsoring my podcast, which I think is really, really cool. So go check out SpaStar. I know you're going to love it. It is the coolest thing ever. And guys, this isn't just for ladies. This is one of the coolest gifts you could get your any female in your life, for that matter. If Lori hadn't have created it, I would buy them for her as a gift to show her my love and appreciation. So dudes, if you're listening and you need to get a gift for your significant other or some special person in your life, go to spastar.net, grab a Get Ready Wrap. There's all kinds of colors. There's black, there's sage, there's a berry color, there's a gosh, I just went blank. There's a kind of a greeny, kind of avocado-y color. Really cool. You're definitely going to love these, I promise. So go to spastar.net, check it out, support Lori. And Lori, thank you for sponsoring the show. All right, let's get to the action. You guys are in for an absolute treat today. This episode was one of my favorite of all time. And guys, you know we're almost at 300 episodes. Dr. Jeffrey Gross, he's going to make me call him Jeff at least once during the podcast, is one of the coolest humans, much less medical brains that I've ever had the opportunity to talk to. He owns a clinic in Henderson, Nevada called Recelebrate. It's based on transformative and regenerative medicine. He's a trained neurological surgeon, brilliant guy, Berkeley, George Washington University, off the charts smart, but so cool, so down to earth. He is going to explain stem cells and how they might be your next step in healing, in feeling better, in decreasing inflammation, and fixing that shoulder or that knee or that spine or whatever it might be. Listen to today's show, guys. You're going to absolutely love it. Check out Recelebrate in Henderson, Nevada. If you want more information about Dr. Gross, unbelievably cool guy, I'm going to be going to see him to get this shoulder, this knee, this body fixed up, and you should too. All right, enjoy the show. Dr. Gross, welcome to the podcast, and I appreciate you taking your valuable time today to give us a little bit of education on stem cells and just wellness and regenerative medicine in general.
Thank you for having me. I'm great to meet you today, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks. I mean, you have got quite the pedigree. So undergrad at Berkeley, correct? Or biochemistry, molecular cell biology. Then correct. You got your doctors in medicine at George Washington University.
Correct.
Licensed in both California and Nevada, currently with a practice in Nevada, and that practice is called Recelebrate.
Correct.
Cool. And that's actually in Henderson.
Yeah, Henderson, just out suburb of Las Vegas.
Okay, perfect. So what got you into the whole world of neuroscience, or, you know, being a neurological trained surgeon?
Yeah, so that goes way back. You know, I was interested even in high school in medicine and surgical specialties in medicine. You know, I'm a self-admitted recovering nerd, I was always very interested in get into the biological sciences, and neuroscience was sort of the last frontier. You know, we knew so little about the brain. And, you know, we still, even all that we've learned in the decades since I became interested, we still have a lot to learn. And we're learning all kinds of things, how our microbiome, for example, influences the brain and vice versa. I mean, all kinds of things that were not even thought about when I was, in high school and undergraduate. So that's what got me into neuroscience. I also had some wonderful experiences in college with some professionals in the neurosciences. And it congealed for me. And that's why I went into originally neurosurgery. And that's how it all got started.
That's very cool. And listen, I'm still a nerd. Like, I always tell people, they're like, hey, what do you watch on TV? And if I can get my hands on like a documentary about, you know, the neurological pathways of whatever it is, like, I'll watch that before I'll watch any kind of show. I've always been that kind of, I was a weird kid too. My mom would take me to, we grew up in a little town. And so we had to drive like 45 minutes to the mall. And so she would go shopping and I would go into GNC at the bookstore and I would just read anatomy and physiology books. And I would learn all about, like, you know, all the different things of that nature. So you're in good company as a recovering nerd. So I'm glad, I'm glad we're on the same page. I still feel like the world of neurology or neuroscience, with all of the different like cognitive, you know, diseases, if you will, and the way the brain just, you know, for lack of a better term, like you said, there's so many new things that are coming out. Like, your gut biome does play a major role in like the presence of whether you're going to get a cognitive, you know, impairment, if you will, later on in life, and even your blood sugar in your brain, and like all of these different things are just now getting spoken about. Like, is that still like a world that you're interested in, or is it more in a different path?
It is a world I'm interested in, but that world has morphed and changed and grown into some other areas of interest. I've been doing this quite a long time. You know, I have 25 years in clinical practice as a neurosurgeon and spine expert. And it was because of that I went back and retrained in regenerative medicine that opened up the doors into the, you know, health, wellness, longevity, and health span areas that I didn't look for or expect, but I have enjoyed. So yeah. It's sort of a natural consequence.
That's really cool. I want to touch on that, on the spinal issue, because I think that's a whole other conundrum that really frightens people tremendously. But so define regenerative medicine for me and for the audience, just so from a doctor's perspective, like what does that really mean?
Sure. So we as humans and as animals have the ability to heal. We have the ability to renew. We make new skin cells every day. We make new cells in our gastrointestinal lining. Our liver can generate new cells. And when we're younger, we can have regeneration of other tissues more robustly than we do when we're older. And that comes from the same elements of ourselves that created us in the first place when we were going from embryo to fetus to newborn. And that when we're a fetus, we're generating. And once we're born, if we're renewing something, once we're grown, we're regenerating. So any aspect of biology that supports that process of regeneration and renewal and healing and restoration is called regenerative medicine. And, you know, the most known element of that, of course, is a stem cell.
Right. And I'm assuming as we, you know, as we begin our exploration process, as we get older, our ability to self-regenerate declines.
That's true, but now we're learning we can help.
Okay, cool. And that's where the, you know, the use of stem cells and those types of things come into play with different disease states. And is there and this is a big question, we'll probably have to unpack this one for a few minutes. Is there a certain area that stem cells seem to work better in? Like you mentioned the spinal thing earlier, and then some of the cognitive things. And then there's like, you know, just, you know, chronic injury, if you will, a chronic repair of like a joint or something of that nature. Does it play in all of those, or is there one that's better than the other?
Right. So in order to answer that, I'm going to put a little disclaimer out.
Okay.
The FDA has made it clear at this time that doctors or anyone, I guess, cannot make any claims or guarantees. Of course, doctors never make guarantees, so I don't know if that's additionally relevant. But we cannot make claims that regenerative medicine treats or cures any disease or condition. So anything else I say today is based on my own experience, reading, knowledge, scientific exploration, journal articles, other scientific proof, with the restriction that I do not mean to violate what the government says I cannot say.
100% understood. Zero claims will be made on this show today or any other show in the future for that matter. So, all right.
Now that we got that out of the way, the regenerative biologics, which could be in various forms, and maybe we'll get into that, work best in the right setting. And the setting is the optimized physiological state. So if I have two identical patients of, let's say they're both 70-year-old with knee problems, and they're seeking to avoid knee replacement surgery. And one of them is a smoker and drinks way too much and doesn't exercise and is overweight and doesn't eat right. And another guy is active and healthy and takes all the right supplementations for what his diet doesn't provide, gets the right protein, collagen supplementations, what have you. One of those persons is going to be a better environment than the other to do this. So we try to help optimize people before we apply regenerative biologics so they can get the most out of it. Having said that, I think the low-hanging fruit of regenerative biologics is joint problems. And I'm going to include spine in that because spine is really a kind of an accumulation of stacked joints of sorts. So that's kind of the low-hanging fruit. The second low-hanging fruit would be people with inflammatory issues, hyper-inflammatory issues like autoimmune issues. Mm-hmm. And then we go on from there into other specific applications all the way through the anti-aging and biohacking group and cosmetic approaches and things like that.
Wow. I mean, you just hit all the nails in the head for me. So I have a psoriatic arthritis. So my CRP looks like a credit score. It's been that way since I was 15 years old. I've never taken a biologic. I've never taken a prescriptive medication for that. I used to work in the pharmaceutical world with GlaxoSmithKline for a long time. I've got a nursing background. So I've just always been that nerd that said, okay, is there a way other than this? And I've kind of always, I'll be 49 in like 2 weeks. So that's kind of been my present, you know, focus. But as I've gotten older, the inflammation I can keep pretty much under control. But now I've got like a 35-year-old reconstructed right knee that just has probably 30 cc's of fluid in it, even if I get it drained. And I've got a right shoulder, like a bicep tendon issue that just won't heal for anything. So when I've been kind of researching this on my own before having you on, it's like, would this be a viable option for me? And I know that's not diagnosable but just don't even use the word diagnosed. That's not really talk aboutable over a Zoom call, but those have been kind of the roads that I've been going down. And probably a lot of my listeners are dealing with some of the same types of things.
The answer is, I think it is something we can talk about on a Zoom call. Most of my clients don't live here in Las Vegas. They reach out through social media, what have you. And we start the process remotely just because in the post-COVID world, it's reasonable. I need time to gather records, do a history. We sometimes get an MRI remotely. We review them by Zoom. And then if they're reasonable candidate and they want to make the trip to Las Vegas, after they're optimized and ready to go, then we make it happen. Something like someone who's had reconstructive ligament or tendon surgery in the knee years ago, old athletic stuff. I mean, this is the low hanging fruit. This is very common for us. What happens is if you were an orthopedic doctor trained in the last, I don't know, let's call it 20 years or more ago, you were trained by professors who were trained in the 1960s. Right. And they use two phrases. One is called bone on bone, and one is called osteoarthritis. And those are really kind of the same processes. And I'll tell you that we see a lot of people who have been told that. And when we look at their MRIs, they're not exactly bone on bone. You would have so much pain you couldn't walk if you're bone on bone. They have something. They have some element of cartilage that is thinned and thinned and thin over time, whether it's from surgeries, use, you know, what have you. And that cartilage is not renewing itself. Back to the definition of regenerative. So there are wonderful pieces of literature on how to attack this that are not from the United States. And I'm not reinventing anything here. I am just putting into motion here in the States what has been in France, for example. They have over 15-year follow-up for knee salvage to prevent knee replacement surgery. Wow. And we're following that protocol. So they have amazing results. We're just duplicating that. That's all.
That's pretty much my story in a nutshell. I've had the x-rays, the MRIs, the everything. And the doctor, who's a younger physician, and he actually told me, he's like, Jay, I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah,
I mean, I live in California, so he didn't have the option to give me an alternative. He said, if I was you, I wouldn't have quote unquote surgery on this knee because I don't think the value it would bring you would be worth the trauma that you would have to endure. And so that's kind of what led me down the road. And, you know, then I've had another doctor tell me, you know, you're eventually going to need a knee replacement. And I'm like, well, I'm eventually not going to get that anytime soon. So those are not on my list of things to get done. So that's kind of been my, you know, my avenue as well. So I've been told those exact same things. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think up until recently, even for me, everything sounds like, well, hey, I had to go to Argentina, or, hey, Jay, I went to Turkey. And, or, you know, you hear about all of these, like, what do they call it? Like, medical tourism or something of that nature is an entire industry. And I think as an American, we say, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why can't I go to my doctor in the state that I live in, or even in an adjoining state, and get the help that I need? Why would I have to go to Turkey?
Well, I for fear of finding myself buried in a ditch by someone that works for Big Pharma, follow the money, right? This is, there are political and economic pressures from people who make a lot of money selling pharmaceuticals and selling metallic surgical implants that will lose dollars And you know, if we can fix ourselves, you're killing a sick care industry, right?
I say that all, I say that all the time. So you're preaching to the choir with my audience and with me. So we won't, you know, I don't want, I like you. I don't want you going anywhere. So let's leave it at that. But what about this? I feel like it's getting better. Like, cause there's guys like you. I've done some other research in some other states that do allow a little bit more. Is it really stem cells? Is it the same thing they're doing other places?
So let me try to address it. It's available in the States. We have to be cautious and careful how we do this, because we have to follow all the ethical guidelines. We have to give every patient informed consent, meaning they have to know all the pros and cons that we know, where we're drawing the information from, the fact that some of these things are not yet approved by the FDA doesn't mean they're not unapproved. They're just not yet approved. And that approval has to do with claims, not how doctors practice medicine. And I think people they think it's illegal or something. But let's look at the facts. I mean, for you know, 20 years ago, if you were a pro athlete or a rocker who was partying too much, you had to go out of the States to get this because they did not have the restrictions here and the fear here. I think you're right that things have opened up and progressed. I mean, listen, I'm part of a group, an organization, you know, a regenerative medicine association. We have meetings. We have, I go to national conferences. This is here. It's growing here locally in the United States. The pro athletes are no longer just going out of town to get this, right? They're keeping it quiet, but they're doing it here. Listen, Tiger Woods, other NFL athletes, NBA sure. athletes go here. You hear a lot about the the mixed martial arts fighters, the MMA fighters that go to Tijuana and stuff. That's fine too. You know, these places in Mexico and Central America and other and around the world, they're well established places, but you know, you don't necessarily have to leave the country. Now, the places that advertise from outside the country can make any claim they want. So that's the difference. So you see a lot of, you know, big bold advertisements of what they treat on the internet. Here in the United States, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't say that. That would be improper.
And as someone who has a decent command of medicine, the human body, just with all of my medical background, I don't want to go to Paraguay to get something put inside of, you know what I mean? To get a treatment done. I know some people don't feel that same way, but I mean, for me, it's like, I want to go to where there are some standards, and not that there's not standards there, but where I feel comfortable and I'm, you know, and I don't need a passport. I can just, you know, have the treatment that I need. Now, you mentioned earlier, or maybe you were starting to segue into that. I think people also get confused when you just the word stem cell, because it's a big word and there's a lot of little things that are underneath that, correct? Like with different types and situations and whatnot.
Right.
Where are we with that? Like, can you kind of unpack that a little bit?
Yeah. So this is the, you know, kind of regenerative biologics 101. I break them down into three main categories. The first category is called PRP. And PRP is a very frequent procedure in the United States. It also is not FDA approved, but interestingly, many insurers now pay for it. So
I feel like PRP has been around since like for 50 years. I mean,
well, in some,
I point, mean, I'm being aggressive, but I mean, I feel like it's been around for a long time. Like I've kind of like removed it from my possibilities because I felt like it was so old.
It's still a rather helpful thing in the right situation for acute inflammatory tendon and joint issues. You know, you usually have two or three, you have to do it two or three times, not always. You know, this is taken from your own blood. Your blood is put in the centrifuge, usually multiple tubes, spun down and separated with the red cells that carry the oxygen are not used for this. The growth factors and the platelets, which is a type of cell, that's where it gets its name. PRP is you know, the platelet-rich growth factors, platelet-rich plasma, if you will. That is, those are, that element of the blood separated is taken, added together, concentrated your own body's growth factors and re-injected into an area of need. So whereas your body would normally send growth factors around and heal this, this is a way to concentrate it in one spot.
Gotcha.
And it's supposed to accelerate healing and reduce chronic inflammation, and it can be helpful. That's kind of the very basic level. And you know, you're not going to find much trouble here in the United States, right, even though it has the same FDA status that stem cells and other things do.
Is there a reason for that? Is it because of how long it's been around? Cause I, like I said, that I don't, I would not have, I would, if you told me that Jay, true or false, you know, PRP is not FDA approved or whatever, I would say, well, of course it is. I mean, everybody's doing it.
Yeah, it's not, many things in medicine aren't FDA approved, by the way. And many things are also off label. You never hear about that, right, you know, and, you know, many of the medicines we use are, you know, they were grandfathered in also, you know, when the FDA added that. So it's still the Wild West, and it's controlled by people who have reasons to control it that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, PRP is the basic. The next level up is stem cells. So, you know, these are the cells that created us in the first place. And we're talking about specifically MSCs, or mesenchymal stem cells. And these are, you know, can divide into other types of cell types as needed. They are flexible that way. They are not omnipotent. They can't form new types of cells or anything like that. There are those types of stem cells. We are not using them. We're using the last bit of differentiated stem cell that hasn't made its final choice into what major to take in college. You know, what,
okay,
should I be a liver cell? Should I be a bone cell? What should I be? So these cells are stored mainly in our bone marrow. Yes, we have some in fat and other places, but really the big store and where we replenish them through the body, the supply room of our body is really our bone marrow. And that allows me to take a slight diversion, if you'll allow me here, and say, bone density is one of the most important things for longevity, muscle mass and bone density. And really, if you're working your muscles, you're doing weight-bearing exercise, you're supporting your bone density, meaning you're supporting your bone marrow, your supply stores of replenishment. As you develop osteoporosis with age, particularly after your hormones decline, if they're not properly replaced, you run the risk of shortening your lifespan. And there are wonderful studies that confirm this. And in short, take care of your bone marrow and it'll take care of you. All right, so back to the regular programming. So stem cells we have in our body, and with exposure to life, you know, things in our food and our water supply, in the air, electromagnetic forces, chronic inflammation, other things, toxins, basically at age, they become inflamed and less useful. And our own stem cell populations can only help so much. So that's where, you know, there are two sources of bone, of stem cells. One is from yourself. So this is like PRP, right? You take your own stem cells, which are typically harvested out of your bone marrow, which, you know, can have to go into your bone to do it. They can be harvested from fat. I'm not a big fan of fat, because if you're obese, that's inflamed tissue. And I don't want a stem cell that is indoctrinated by an inflammatory signal. I want a really healthy stem cell. But, you know, if you're changing the oil in your car, would you put the old oil back in?
Right. That's always been a sticking point for me. I've always had a problem with that, just as a layperson. I'm like, I don't want the stem cells for my fat. It just seems like, is it, when I think about fat, I'm thinking like, this is something I'm trying to get rid of. Why on earth would I want to put it back in me? And then we talked about from the bone marrow itself, like that's the part of that that has always freaked me out, is, as most people are probably listening, is like, well, how are we going to get that out, Doc?
Well, it's a pretty big needle, I'll tell you that. In fact, it's nice of me to call it a needle. It's really what's called a trocar, which is something rather, you know, punitive in some circles. But it can be done. I mean, we do it, but it's, again, if you're 65 years old and you want some bone marrow derived mesenchymal stem cells to reconcentrate and put it in your knee, you know, those stem cells aren't going to be the most active. So,
right.
So the second source of stem cells, the one I'm really way more excited about, because I believe it's way more effective. And this has been shown. It's not just me, my belief, are what we call perinatal source. And I want to dispel some myths, because a lot of people, you know, think there are, you know, these, you know, baby right. factories just to make stem cells. This is not the case. In the United States, labs that make this available to us are basically FDA certified labs, ironically, and right. they have certain cleanliness and standards and ethics. These are women that are having babies by C-section. And instead of throwing away their afterbirth products, you know, the placenta, the amniotic fluid, and the umbilical cord, that trash is now treasure. And it's kept, it's taken to a lab, it's processed, it's concentrated, it's tested and screened, it's made sure to be sterile, and then it is sent to us for use. So this is a very regulated and good process. It's one of the things we don't know what's happening in the other countries. I just don't know. I don't mean to say that in a derogatory way, because I don't know. But every time I buy product to put in our special freezer here in the clinic, you know, it comes with certification sheet. It's tested for HIV and all the viruses, and I feel confident. And I've used it on myself, so I feel confident about this, these products. And we have stem cells, but there's even a third level that comes from the perinatal source. And is it okay if I keep on going?
Yeah. My assumption is the perinatal source, the reason that those are in your belief and in the literature belief is that they're just more powerful, more robust. I mean, if you're comparing the stem cells of a brand new to a 75-year-old, you know, yeah. I put myself through the ringer. Just makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, these are much more active. They have not been exposed to life's harshnesses, you know, toxins and all that stuff. They're you know, unadulterated. It's the cleanest, most robust source you can find.
And you don't have to use a jackhammer to get it out of your own body, I just put a big plus sign beside that thing. I'm like, I marked out bone marrow and put, so we're back in the game. All right. So there's even a better source or a better version than this?
Well, in my belief, but for the education purposes alone, let me tell you where this came from. It was studied that when people had stem cells delivered to them in some form, like I just talked about, those cells only last 10 to 14 days, but the benefits last months or more, or could be helpful in taking care of a problem. And then even if the stem cell effect wore off, the problem is kept at bay. For example, a knee, you know, you've helped that knee somewhat, and then reduce the inflammation, help your body heal it, better than it could on its own. And then the stem cells, the effect is gone. But if the stem cells only last a couple of weeks, then where is that benefit coming from that got instigated by the stem cells? Well, it turns out stem cells do most of their work by delivering signals to your own cells and to your own stem cells, which is why I like to call this stem cell activation. If we could take your cells, Jay, and activate them to work like they did when you were 12 years old or younger for a spell, to do what you want them to do, or at least work towards achieving those restorative goals, and that benefit lasted many months, then that's incredible. That's what we're trying to do. So this signaling, this stem cell to you signaling, are done through very small, membrane encircled growth factors, we're back to growth factors, and microRNAs given off by these stem cells that go to your cells. So you think about a stem cell is a pretty good sized thing measured in microns, which is 1/1000th of a meter is a micron, right? And then each one of those stem cells can give off thousands of these signaling particles, which are about 1/1000th of the size of a cell, and they're measured in diameter by nanometers, which is 10^-9, or even 1/1000th of a micron. So the these particles, a little bit of membrane, growth factors, and mRNAs, and they go from that stem cell to other cells in the neighborhood where they're delivered, and they that cell takes them in through a process called endocytosis, where the membrane is incorporated, those growth factors are taken into the cell. Many of those growth factors are small proteins that go to the nucleus to affect the DNA expression, not change the DNA, but tell the genes to get to work, to take that factory of a cell, and instead of making washers and dryers, it's wartime, we got to make airships. And it changes the expression into a restorative, regenerative, anti-inflammatory, more youthful state for that cell. So I call that stem cell activation. It can go into your stem cells, it can go into your regular cells, and that's a widespread effect. So these are called exosomes or nanoparticles. Exosomes are probably doing the work for the stem cells. So the stem cells are kind of the middleman in my mind. They may have some other benefits, but the vast majority of what we're seeking can be done through these exosomes. So why do I like exosomes? They also come from the amniotic fluid and the perinatal source tissues. They can be concentrated even more than stem cells. They can last longer. They can go further in the body. For example, stem cells are too large to enter the brain unless you inject it into the nervous system. Exosomes are small.
That sounds challenging.
Well, you could do it through a spinal tap, which is still, you know, something.
But nobody wants that, Doc. That's what do you mean you could do it through a spinal tap?
Okay. The exosomes can cross the blood-brain barrier, and they handle easier. And guess what? They're less expensive, so we can pass that savings on to the end user. So I'm a big fan of exosomes. They've only been around since 2016. They are basically the message of a stem cell.
Would that be given systemically through like an IV? It can also be injected straight into the particular area.
It can go where you need it. It can go IV. It can go, we have cosmetic purposes. I've had my own, hair injected. I was starting to get a little bald spot back here. So I've done my scalp. So we've got all kinds of, I've gone from, treating, critical medical problems to now doing all kinds of things, including, I call it fun stuff,
So when I think of a guy like myself who's had a CRP, like I said, of astronomical sorts since I was 15, this sounds like an exosome might be a way to help with systemic inflammation.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. This is regenerative medicine is rather synonymous with anti-inflammatory medicine.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much what I live my life around, is how can I decrease inflammation in any way, shape, or form? That's the whole, antithesis of my scientific approach to how I feed myself, how I train, how I sleep, how I hydrate. Everything is really predicated on that. In my thoughts, everything starts with inflammation, right? Most disease states begin in an inflammatory state.
Well, yes. And really, you've hit on the head of aging, because aging is really accumulation of chronic inflammation. In fact, someone once wrote the term inflammaging, which is spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. You keep coming back to optimization. So I really kind of want to touch on that, because we talked a little bit before I hit play about how that's kind of a new world of medicine, if you will, is like the optimization clinics or the hormonal replacement clinics and whatnot. How important is that? I mean, I think you've stressed this, but I just want to kind of you to readdress it.
Yeah.
If you're not in a great hormonal place, let's just say you are a mess, your blood work is just an absolute disaster, then starting with stem cells wouldn't be as advantageous if we got the other position corrected first.
Yeah, listen, you want to oil all the machines in your factory before you switch your factory over to regenerative mode. So This includes the right nutrients, the right supplements, the right hormonal status, the right mindset, even. I mean, everything. You know, I want an optimized person because I want that person to get the best results from the treatment. You know, if you're going to come all the way here and we're going to do something, and, you know, we didn't really touch on this, but, you know, health insurance is not covering regenerative medicine outside of PRP. Right. So if someone's going to spend the money, and it really has come down, it's not crazy now, but if someone's going to spend the money, I want it to work. So let's get, I like to optimize people first. Some people are already optimized. You're probably one of them, you know, but you know, that takes a few remote visits. We get them teed up, make sure they're on the right path, diet, sleep, everything.
And then I'm assuming post, right? So post the stem cell, you know, treatments or whatever it was, because it sounds like depending on what we're trying to treat, there's probably a protocol that's going to be in place that's different, but you know, for different kind of, you know, if I've got a bump shoulder versus an entire, you know, spinal issue with chronic inflammation and all those are going to be different treatment protocols.
Well, it's how we deliver the regenerative biologics, yes, but otherwise not terribly different. I mean, okay. most of my people are optimized in a custom way. You know, a woman of one age is going to get something where a man of another age may get something else, but also precision for their specific needs and their markers. Generally speaking, if we're doing a shoulder versus a spine, it's a similar recovery protocol. There's very little downtime. I want people who have these procedures to use that body part. The stimulation of the, we call them mechanoreceptors, but the, you know, the sensation in the where the tendon meets the bone and in the bone stimulates the stem cell activity and the reparative mode of those cells. So there's very little downtime. We get right to it. And they need to continue their optimization.
Right. Afterwards. That was kind of the point I was driving home. I think we're like such a quick fix society. We're like, oh, hey, one visit, hit me with it. I'll go back to my regular schedule programming.
No, doesn't work.
And you said recovery. So let's, I'm thinking, I'm very selfish, Doc. I'm thinking about myself here. I've been dealing with this for so long. I'm the kind of person that, I'll give you an example. I think I was 20 years old. I had my appendix removed, emergency surgery, the whole nine yards. They said, Joe, you can't work out for, I think it was like 12 weeks. 3 weeks into it, I took my own stitches out, wrapped an ACE bandage around myself, some duct tape, and went to the gym. So I am not a guy that does well when you say, Jay, you can't do this. Like, especially when it comes to moving my body. So what's the downtime for somebody who's like, say we had the quote bone on bone for the knee, and they get the processes and they start going through that. What is that? I mean, do they have to lay down for 17 weeks or what does it look like?
No. I want them up on that knee the next day. You know, the worst thing I do is an injection under sedation using an X-ray guidance system called a fluoroscopy at a sterile facility. So I want them up the next day using that knee. I had someone who had a shoulder procedure about 4 weeks ago, played golf the next morning. Yeah, he was a little sore from the procedure, but he was already sore from the problem. So. I said, yeah, I want you using the shoulder. It stimulates cells to produce receptors to call for those growth factors, to call for the recovery and the repair. So what I'm trying to do is take someone like that where they're using the shoulder and they're normally calling for the repair, but their body just can't do it like it did when it was, you know, 3 years old. You ever, I don't know if you have young ones, but if you ever have a 3-year-old skin his knee on the sidewalk and then, you know, they, mother cleans it, puts the band-aid on, kisses it, sends them back out to play, right?
Yeah.
3 days later, that band-aid comes off and the scab is almost completely healed, right? Whereas if you and I do that, it takes 2 weeks to heal.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is return the body or part of the body towards that area of healing like it did when it was 3.
I think that's genius. And my brain always goes to, I think we've kind of unpacked this, like I'm always looking for the least invasive thing I can explore. And I know we've kind of touched on this, like it's the world of medicine that we live in. It's like, you know, people go to the doctor. My doctor said I need a knee replacement, and it always blows my brain. I'm always like, well, what, have we talked about A, B, C, or D? And most of the time the answer is no. And so I feel like if we can get more information out there that there are, you know, steps and processes. I don't think you and I either one are saying that there's no need to ever have a blank procedure, right? There's always some catastrophic things that might create a necessity, right?
Right. Well, it's a funny thing. You know, when I first, my first month as an intern, I was on an orthopedic rotation and it was at a veterans hospital. And there were some older veterans who had their knees fused. They couldn't bend it at all. Like the bone was fused. This was before knee replacements. So they probably had them fused in the 60s, maybe early 70s.
Right.
And there were so few of them because they only did it for people who absolutely could not get out of bed or walk otherwise. Right. But now almost everyone gets offered procedures, you know, when they have pain, right? And they do an x-ray, oh, you're bone on bone and we need to do a replacement. I would like to help, just like the French study, help move a lot of those people from the surgical category to let's try to avoid the surgery category, which really echoes most of my career in the spine anyway. Just extending it to other areas. So that's been fun. We've been able to do that for a lot of people. And I'd like to continue to do that. That'll be sort of my chapter two here is my career.
Yeah. You know what? I think there is a trend. I had a spinal surgeon on a few months ago and he said the same thing. He's like, don't do it unless you, he said, exhaust every other measure before you allow somebody to cut on your spine. He's like, it's just one of those things where he said, I've done this for over 20 years.
Yep.
And he said, I would love to be able to give you some great statistics on the positive outcomes. He's like, but the negative outcomes outweigh those. And most people don't have that information.
Agreed 100%. So I can concur. That's one of the reasons I was, you know, I went into regenerative medicine because I had so many patients come in, you know, doc, you know, the therapy didn't work. This didn't work. Right. The injections didn't work. The only thing left is surgery. And I really don't want surgery. I'm suffering and you know, I have trouble every day, but I can still work. And so we needed something in between there to help fill that gap. So people would come in and ask, what about stem cells, doc? I hear stem cells are great. What are they, you know?
Right.
So I said, at some point, you're right. I got to go back and like get trained and figure this out, which is what I did. So.
Well, you're kind of an anomaly. When I first entered the medical world, I remember one of my mentors is like, hey, listen, surgeons they don't become surgeons to do office visits and consultations. Like they like to cut things open and fix things. And, you know, it's kind of like a mechanic. Like you don't take your car to the mechanic for him to wash it. Like he wants to take some things apart and put some new things in and, you know, jazz it up a little bit. So I think in that world, if you're going to an orthopedic surgeon, they're probably going to recommend something orthopedic. So I'm glad that there's guys like you who have kind of like moved into a step before that process.
Well, I appreciate that. We always refer to that as if you're a hammer, you're always looking for a nail.
Absolutely.
So listen, there's nothing worse than a patient who's undergone a very large surgery and is unhappy about it. So the way to stack the deck for good results is to only operate on people who just have no other option. So that's always been in the back of my head. As they used to tell us in residency is a great place to learn how to do surgery. When you go into practice, it's a great place to employ how not to do surgery. And that's always rang true for myself.
That's really cool. Before I let you out of here, what can somebody do? They've listened to us talk today and they're inquisitive, they're interested, they're like, I just want to learn more. Like, where can all the listeners go to just get some next steps and see if maybe this is something cool for them?
Yeah, I mean, listen, do your homework. You know, whereas Jay, you and I used to enjoy the bookstore, people just Google, right? You can find YouTube videos on this. I have more in depth. If you're a true science nerd, I have some actual medical lectures on the Recelebrate YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
You know, if you have a problem, you want to ask some questions. If you mention that you heard me on Jay's podcast, I'll be happy to have a you know, no charge conversation with you. Just contact my office through our website, recelebrate.com, or any of our channels, Instagram, TikTok, all the social channels.
And I'll link all those in the show notes, guys, so you don't have to rattle those down. The website will be there, the whole nine yards. And well, before this even goes out, I'm going to go to the website and sign Jay Nixon up for a chat, because I think there's some stuff that you could probably really help me with. So I really appreciate you coming on and being so relatable and so like just down to earth like I said, with your pedigree, like we shouldn't even be talking. And so.
Oh, stop. No, be wary the ego. If your physician has that, find a different one.
Agreed. I've had some of my greatest conversations with people that, like I said, I shouldn't be even in the same room with, because they don't have that ego. I think it's oftentimes the person who doesn't feel like they should be in the room that has that weirdness to it. So I appreciate you me and all the listeners, you know, all your time. And I'll link all the websites and the YouTubes and everything in the show notes, and we'll get some people some help. That's really my mission, and I think it's yours based on reading and meeting you, is I just want people to live their best life and realize that there's alternatives to, quote unquote, the way things have always been done.
100%.
So there's some new things, and you don't have to go to Paraguay. There's, you know, we can start with the Zoom and then move forward there. So Doc, appreciate you. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
Hope you have an awesome day.
Absolutely.
Hey, before you go, I'd just like to say thank you again for listening to the Thrive Forever Fit podcast and watching on YouTube. It means the absolute world to me. And if you would do me one favor, and that is simply subscribe and review this podcast on whatever platform it is that you enjoy it on, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, doesn't matter. I would absolutely be so grateful and so thankful if you do that for me. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you again next week with an awesome, awesome episode. Bye.